Here's Mike McIntosh to open our program with this thought about being used by God, all for God's glory.
You can do things for the Lord. You can do things with the Lord. You can do things in the Lord. And you can do things with the power of the Lord. He wants to use us all.
And I'll stand up and shout and praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Social media has given us a wonderful opportunity to make new friends, reconnect with old friends, and stay in touch to share our lives with our distant families. But one thing is for certain, everyone has an opinion, and many times they don't agree. Today on Chapter and Verse, we continue our series in the Gospel of Mark. As believers in Christ, one thing we can all agree upon is that we need Jesus now more than ever. The church is under attack, and at times seems as though those who are against Christ are winning. The good news of the gospel assures us that the battle has already been won, but many souls are still lost and need to be loved and shown what a true relationship with God is all about. Now, here's Mike McIntosh to finish this introduction to the book of Mark.
Then we knew that first was Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. So we knew that San Diego was Jerusalem, San Diego County was Judea, the U.S. and her territories with Samaria and all the other nations were part of the world. And we all knew we were doing one of three things in all those four regions that God had shown us. We'd never missed a beat. And God would raise up people and we'd disciple and say, okay, you take 10 home fellowships and start a church over in La Mesa. You take 10 fellowships and you start a church over there in El Cajon. Okay. Who wants to go to Hawaii? Somebody wants us to plant a church in Hawaii. Nobody wanted to go to Hawaii. I couldn't believe it. We put a church there. But this went on for years that if 100 people left on Sunday morning to start a Sunday somewhere else in San Diego, without a doubt there was at least 150 new people from the Lord. It went on like that for years. The Lord just wants us doing his work. And when we're focused on his work and what he wants done, and we line it up with the foundation of Scripture, the Spirit takes it and empowers everyday people. I know a man, he was getting his MBA in business at San Diego State. He came to the School of Evangelism. He dropped out of the MBA program that he was in. He went with a group of students. At the end of each year, they would go to some foreign country, come back and tell great stories of what the Lord did. He went to Mexico. He fell in love with the Mexican people, so much so he changed his name to a Mexican. He gave up everything he had in the States, and he moved down there and didn't know one person. Today, there's probably 75 or 100 churches that this man is responsible for. We've gone over the years and done what's called the Festival de Vida, Festival of Life, like a Billy Graham crusade. But we take 500 to 1,500 people from around the world that like evangelism, and we go into a town. And we work it from the top to the bottom, from the governor to the druggies. Doctors and nurses do surgeries, and people do sports with kids, and dinners and luncheons for the police and military, and on and on and on. We filled so many stadiums with tens and tens and tens of thousands of people coming to Jesus. Not one of us was anybody more special than anybody else, but we were all on the same team. We knew what the Lord wanted us to do. He loves winning souls. He loved when your soul was won. But I do know that something happens to Christians after they've been Christian a while. They sort of slack off a little bit. And this is the Lord saying, he's ready to come back, and we know people that are lost. I, unfortunately, till I talked to his ex-wife tonight on the way home, I think that mutual friend is sitting in hell tonight. He knew who I was. He heard me preach. He heard me talk to him face to face. But drinking that bottle was more important than his girls or his wife. Being foul-mouthed and being abusive was more important to show that he's that kind of a man than to be somebody that could love other people. I do not condemn him. I hope I see him in heaven. But it breaks my heart tonight, knowing that more than likely, from what I know, but God knows more, you don't want anybody to go to hell, especially yourself. We can't sit back in comfort when people are perishing. We can't. You can pray. If you're not a doer or a goer, you can pray. And I can guarantee you God will answer those prayers. Jesus called men on the job. You know, they gave up their business, and the sons always inherited the father's business. Isn't that something? They left Zebedee's boats and followed a carpenter. He said, I'll teach you how to be fishers of men. And when you follow Jesus through Mark, you realize he's teaching you and me how to catch men, humans. The devil knows how to do it. He has the whole thing bound up. But you and I are like commandos. We go in cover of light. He goes in the darkness and the shadows. We come right out in the open and tell him the truth, and it sets him free. But we can't be afraid anymore to not tell people the truth. Because Jesus said, the truth will set them free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So in closing, as we see this casting nets, mending nets, and washing nets, we see a rhythm. And there may be a rhythm in your life that you can see like that and realize that's what you're looking for. You just don't have a rhythm of why you do what you do or what you're doing. So they were astonished at his teaching. He went into Capernaum immediately, the fifth time on the Sabbath. He entered the synagogue and he taught, and they were astonished at his teaching. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, look it, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. Notice he is in the plural, let us alone. Now he's in the singular. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now men aren't crying this out. Demons are crying it out. Demons know exactly who Jesus is. And demons are rough people. Whatever they are, they're demons. They're bad. But I have seen God just take the most vile spirits. When I was a reserve police officer for almost 9 years in San Diego, in the last 30 years I've been helped them set up their chaplaincy and for the sheriff. And I've got a lot of time on the street. And I so love and appreciate law enforcement, not just the officers, but their families too. Lost a lot of them, went through the grief with so many of them. But this one night, it was hot like it is now. We're down in the roughest area, in the southeast area of San Diego. There was a woman laying in the street with hundreds of people blocking the road when our car pulled up. The ambulance was already there. Paramedics were there. They were standing back. She was foaming. She was just like an animal. Just going nuts. And it's about 11 o'clock at night, you know, and it's not what you want to see at 11 o'clock at night. She's there, and none of the cops would go over and arrest her or cuff her. Well, I thought maybe it's a demon. I know the spectacular thing would be to pull out your Bible and shake it around a couple times and in the name of Jesus and do all that. But I went to the officer in charge, and I said, you know what I do for a job? Yeah, I know. You're some sort of a pastor or minister. And I said, yes, sir. I think this woman, she's like 25. I honestly think it's a spiritual problem. Well, what could you do to help her? Nobody wants to get near her. But you're the ranking officer here. Would you mind if I just went over and talked to her? And if something happened, I'll take all the blame if it gets weird. But these people around here don't need to know what I just told you. Yeah, go ahead. So I went over and I knelt down next to her. And I just prayed, Lord, help me, please. What do you want done with this woman? This is your child laying in the middle of the street, foaming at 11 o'clock at night. And the one thing I've always responded to from the Lord is his love. I looked for love my whole life. When I found my wife, I finally found what love was like from another person. And I began to understand there's not a connection between lust and love. She is just such a loving person. But when I met Jesus, it blew all the doors off of a horrible childhood. His love is just unbelievable. And I knelt down next to her and put my hand on her shoulder. She growled or something. And I just leaned over by her ear. Didn't want to humiliate her or embarrass her or cause a show. I just said, "I don't know who you are, but I'm here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I'm sensing that you have a spirit that controls you. And I don't know if you got it by drugs, by sorcery, witchcraft, or whatever's going on. But if you're understanding, I'm going to tell you you're going to change in just a minute." She calmed down. She didn't say anything. She didn't bark. She didn't growl. She didn't toss and turn in a spasm like she was doing. And I said, "So, Jesus died on the cross for you. And he loves you so much. He doesn't want you living a life like this. He wants you to be free." And I saw two of the paramedics come over saying, "What's he talking to her about? Is he giving her a syringe or something? What's he doing?" And I said, "So in the name of Jesus, you filthy, foul spirit, come out of this daughter of God. In the name of Jesus, set her free and be gone." And all of a sudden, she just, whoosh! That was it. She just laid there. She wasn't unconscious. She just laid there. She was calm. And I said, "Now, you need to confess your sins and ask the Lord to forgive you and ask his son to come into your heart." And she did. I got up. The police officer said, "I don't know what went on there, but this is a good one for the locker room." I said, "I'm not going to talk about it. Just, you know what happened, and let's just leave it at that." The paramedics got her up. They got her an intravenous drip going. She looked normal sitting in the back of that ambulance. They took her off to the hospital. Another one right in a church building. Pastor's conference at Twin Peaks Calvary Chapel. Chuck was teaching, and I was in the back row with Don McClure and Raul Reese and our wives, and somebody came in and said, "Hey, the fire department needs help. Could you three guys come over?" Yeah, okay, so we went. We didn't know what it was. It was a demon-possessed woman, and the firefighters could not handle her. Now, Raul Reese is the 20th degree, 40th, 100 black belt in so many different things. He is a tough guy. He's strong. He's in the martial arts Museum of Heroes or something. He's really up there. You wouldn't know it, but he is. He's big. So I went over and started talking to her, and she went nuts. She just went crazy. And she ran across towards where the church was. The deputies from San Bernardino came up the hill. They got out of their cars, and they're fixing their leather like cops do when they get out of their cars. And they look up here, and she goes, "Nuts on him." And they both backed up and says, "Okay, you guys take care of this. We're out of here." And they got in their cars, and they actually drove down the hill. Whoa. So I said, "Well, you get behind her. Don, you go back and get our wives. We want the women to deal with the woman, but Raul and I'll go inside with her." So I kept walking backwards, and she's growling. And she's really foul. And I backed up onto the altar, and she didn't know that Raul was following her all the way into the sanctuary and standing behind her. And I said, every time I'd say Jesus, she would go off. I mean, she'd just, "I'll kill you, I'll rip your head up," and just all this stuff. And I said, "Oh boy, Raul, I'm glad you're here." And she lunged at me and almost got my neck. And Raul came up behind her, got his arms over her, and he tried to lift her up. It would be nothing for him to do, but she threw him down on the ground. I said, "Okay, I'll go get Don and the girls and leave this with Raul. He'll take care of this one, I'm sure." It took over 2 hours with that woman. And when it finished, somebody's holding her arms and her legs. She had blue gel, like toothpaste, coming out of her mouth. I mean, she was just possessed by the devil. But that's about it. It's about all he can do is ruin a life. He loves ruining lives. He didn't have to possess people to ruin lives. He just has to lie to him or seduce him. He loves trapping people in sin. He loves turning you against people that love you. He loves to make you make the wrong choice and follow the broad way instead of the narrow path. "No, if any man will come after me," the Lord Jesus said, "pick up your cross and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me." Well, we'll close with this one little last vignette. And the demon guy was in there, and he rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet," verse 25, "come out." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, be like you all talking now. What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And there's the word. Could you all say it together? Immediately. How many is that? Six. His fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee, and as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So from the synagogue to the house, Jesus is relevant in the church service, in the parking lot, in your car, and when you get home. He wants to be with you everywhere, every day, all the time. And you may hear him. I watched Chuck Smith. He hated people to throw rice at the weddings. One time, he was kind of an outspoken, bold guy when he wanted to. He's such a loving guy. But when I was sitting in a wedding, I just admire him. Say, oh, Lord, I just like to love people like Chuck does. And, man, I hope I get to do weddings someday. This is so great. And Chuck said, you know what? Throwing rice is a pagan ritual. I'd rather, if you have rice, please don't throw it afterwards because I have to clean it up. And actually, the people threw rice after that one. And I watched Chuck in his suit cleaning up the rice. I watched him picking up cigarette butts, which are filthy and dirty. I watched him do all the things you'd say, well, that guy's famous. I mean, that was when the little 300-seat sanctuary had 1,500 people three times a Sunday. And what's he doing? But he sure set an example of Jesus from the synagogue to the house and everything in between. He talked about Jesus and he worked for Jesus and he served Jesus. And I began to learn, turn left, okay, why? Oh, this piece of paper, pick it up. Well, Chuck would pick it up, I'd pick it up. Jesus would pick it up. Turn right, why? Oh, there's a guy slapping that woman around in the parking lot. Well, go over here and do something about it. I really don't want to get in the middle of that. Oh, okay, pray. But I'll call somebody else in. No, you can do things for the Lord. You can do things with the Lord. You can do things in the Lord. And you can do things with the power of the Lord. He wants to use us all. Orange County is dying. Sunday night services pretty much across the country are no longer happening. I'm sorry to tell you that. Our country's in big trouble. I spoke with a Department of Homeland Security person the other day, a high ranking. Said, Mike, I can't tell you everything, but I'll tell you what you need to know. Our country is in such a corrupted mess right now from what has gone on in the past. I don't know if it'll ever be cleaned up. I've heard all sorts of people say that. We need to pray. We're not a religious right. We're not a moral majority. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And the Bible does not teach us that God is about love. It teaches in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love. And if I'm his son and you're his son and daughter, people will know we're Christians by our love for one another. Would you give him a chance? You may be tired. You may be worn out. You may don't even know why you'd even want to go to church. But would you give him a chance? That's all I'm asking. And I can guarantee you, once you start letting him move through you, you'll never be the same person again. I'm serious. He'll show you things and put you places that you would never imagine. And then you just say, whoa, Lord, you're too much. Is there one person here tonight that would have to admit there is somebody you're concerned about, like my friend who died this week? Any of you have a friend like that or a neighbor? You know they're going to hell. They're godless people. We can't let that happen. If you and I don't love them and pray for them, who in the world is? It has to start somewhere, revival. Our country needs an awakening. And if it's not going to start here tonight, where will it start? With repentance and confession and love and forgiveness. Let's have it start here tonight. When Mr. Finney got married, he's a very wealthy, successful lawyer, a great evangelist. He told his wife, I have one speaking engagement, and I have to do that. And I'll come back and we'll do our honeymoon. He went away to a couple of towns away. He was gone 6 months. Every time he stopped leaving a town to go in a store or get a horseshoe, a revival would break out and people around him start crying, accepting Jesus. He was gone 6 months. He was supposed to be gone just 2 or 3 days. But everywhere he went, and everywhere Mark shows us Jesus going, eternal life pops up. And we want to see that, don't we? He's not a religion. He's real. Let us stand together. Let us pray. And let us pray right now for the people you love. Let's take a few quiet, reverent moments and pray for the people you love. Think of them. Look at their faces. Hear their voices. Remember them. Ask God's mercy. His mercy endures forever. Ask God to use you to help them understand. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Don't be afraid to tell them that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he wants them to spend eternity in heaven with you and our Father. Now pray for the people that you know are sitting behind you, in front of you, on your left, on your right. Just say a prayer for them. Just pray. Many people were in that meeting that night when Jesus was in the synagogue. The people were quiet, but the devil, he made a lot of noise. And it might have frightened the people to think that the devil can go to church. Now, this isn't a silent faith we have. This is a faith that touches lives. Now let's pray for this super congregation and for the musicians that have volunteered to help on Sunday night, and the ushers, and the sound, and the audio, and the video. And now let's pray that God would use us. God, we are few in number. Father, we are weak compared to the strength of darkness around us. But we're mighty through God, through your word. And you had in Daniel's time doing great and mighty things. We would like to be used by you. We would like to call upon you this night. Tustin, California, 1500 East 17th Street, sir. That you would pour out your Holy Spirit without any measure whatsoever. More powerful than when it fell on the day of Pentecost. More powerful than when it fell in the house of Cornelius as Peter went to his house and they were baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let this area be yours to bring souls in, to win people to your heart, to deliver people, to save marriages and little boys and girls, teenagers in trouble. God, would you use us? We want to be used, Lord, for your honor, for your glory, for your name. Please pour out your Spirit upon us in that precious name of Jesus. As we are singing this worship song, I want to invite any of you that would like to come up and pray with me and any of the other fellows here. We want to pray for you. Maybe you want to be baptized in the Spirit. We'll pray for you. But maybe you're sick or have something that's way beyond anything you can fight anymore. You just come up. We'll pray for you before we all go home. Let's worship him. Let's call upon his name. Let's trust him and believe. He's looking for a people that are looking for him. And I know that he can do great and mighty things through each of you. You're special. You're real. You're the only one he made like you. And he's not throwing you away. He's keeping you.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." It's possible to accept God's free gift of salvation, but still ignore the need for character or lifestyle change. We want to be righteous, but struggle to exercise the commitment needed to transform our lives. Jesus is our example. His life is characterized by self-sacrifice, simplicity, frugality, and complete spiritual discipline. If our lives remain stagnant, we can't expect to reap the rewards of His love and sacrifice. Christ gives us the power to change. We'll continue with our series in the Gospel of Mark on the next broadcast of Chapter and Verse. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link and then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Thanks for joining us today on CNV. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.